It's the Set of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of SetofCheese.com, back on my old familiar microphone. With me, as always, my old familiar co-host, Colin Burton from FizzlingPop.com.
Hello, everyone.
And Colin, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Does crow taste like chicken at all? Because I think we should know, since we have a decent pile of the crow to eat. Indeed, you and me were fools, absolute fools. We were not only taken in by an April Fool's joke, but one that was two goddamn years old. We should have known better, but I for one blame the Retropolitan, spelled out, that's 1939.net. So anyhow, yeah,
I don't know if I'd blame him. I mean, he didn't tell me to talk about it or anything.
He got the ball rolling, man. Now, kids, if you listened to last week's awesome cast, lovingly titled Bite Me, no, wait! You heard us go batshit insane about the whole finger-biting thing from BMEZine.com. It was a feature from the Publisher's Ring section. And, Colin, why don't you tell the kids what you found out sometime last week?
Well, I found out that it was a hoax. It was an April Fool's joke.
Yep.
Apparently it was the third or fourth one that they had done.
This isn't even their first crack at it. They're like,
well,
pros
they
at it. And they, you know, I tell you what, this was an April Fool's joke, but I have to say that it was particularly well executed. Obviously, there was some heavy Photoshop work involved and some, I don't know, makeup work. I don't know. They did a great job on those little stubby fingers.
Yeah.
And it was a good joke.
It was.
Regardless, we spent a really good chunk of time on the last week's episode being complete morons and being fooled by some guy that has a Zia painted on his forehead. So way to go, Shannon. Anyhow, the whole being fooled business got me thinking about some of the April Fool's pranks that I've had occasion to play on people. One of the best ones was we had this little creepy guy who used to work at the agency. He was kind of a throwback kind of sales guy. Total chain smoker, made strange inappropriate comments to the ladies. He drove a huge car, and true to the stereotype, he was always hatching, you know, and I should probably say that with an appropriate accent. He was always hatching harebrained schemes. He had these just flat-out goofy-ass ad campaign ideas that he wanted to sell his packages to car dealers. Did you work on any of them? I worked on a couple.
I'm not even sure who you're talking about offhand.
Little stinky guy that smoked all the time.
Oh, no, okay. Yeah, okay, him. Yeah, yeah, I remember him.
Yep. Did you work on any of his harebrained schemes?
A couple of them, I think so, yeah. Yeah.
A couple of years ago, it was suggested by one of the people that worked at the agency who no longer works there. His name is Frank. He wanted me to play a joke on this guy. And so what I did was I called up to the front desk, and then I got transferred to his phone, so it sounded like an outside line. It rings twice on our little system if it's an outside line. And because I was transferred, he couldn't see the caller ID as local. And then, in my best Goomba accent, I proceeded to tell him that I was a car dealer from New Jersey, and I wanted to not only buy one of his campaign ideas, but that I was thinking of spending $18,000 a month with the agency to start. And the poor little bastard was so goddamn giddy, I almost felt bad letting him off the hook. Because he was crushed after I told him it was a joke. You could hear that in his voice. And, you know, he didn't really last that much longer at the agency, but that sale, had it been not completely fictional, might have been enough for him to keep his job.
Might have been, yeah. Look at you.
How sad.
You're the bringer of false hopes.
That's pretty much, yeah, that's what I do. Build people up and then tear them down. Just chop them down like so many trees in the forest.
And laugh while you do it.
That's right, falling on mimes. Do you have any good April Fool's memories there, Colin?
I don't really focus too much on April 1st. As a matter of fact, I can usually be tricked on April 1st because I forget that it's April Fool's Day. So, I don't really go out of my way to trick people.
I forgot that February 2nd was Groundhog's Day this year.
Was it? Well, look at that.
I forgot that February 2nd was Groundhog's Day this year.
Yeah.
I forgot that February 2nd was Groundhog's Day this year.
What the hell are you doing?
That's a little joke. Do you ever see Groundhog Day, the movie, with Bill Murray?
Oh, right. Yeah, I have that on DVD.
I should be punched in the face for making such an obscure reference, I guess.
Okay. Since you're the one there, go ahead and punch yourself in the face.
I'll do that later. But my personal greatest April Fool's accomplishment has got to be the prank that I pulled on Cameron, who happens to be a Canadian who used to work with us at the agency, whom also happens to be joining us via the telephones for today's show. Thanks for taking time out, Cameron. Welcome to the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour.
Well, thank you, Derek. I'm always happy to relive this one fun moment in my life.
Well, it was extremely fun for me. I'm not exactly sure what you were thinking on the other end of the line. but it was fun for me. So to set the scene, this April Fool's prank followed you having had some trouble getting back into the States at the Canadian border. Why don't you explain that for the kids who are listening?
Well, I was under renewal on my visa, so I was waiting for it all to be approved and to come back through. And basically, I had been held up once, which Derek and his merry band of fools in the back took well advantage of, by not only totally covering my kiosk or my cubicle with INS Do Not Cross and other sundry that was pretty funny. I'm not a big April Fool prankster myself, so I wasn't expecting anything. So this whole thing came right out of the blue.
Yeah, and the following April Fool's Day, I called the front desk, got transferred to your phone, and I called myself Pierre Desjardins. I was a minister from Ottawa. In my worst French-Canadian accent, I said that after an internal audit, we found that there were errors with your visa, and we needed to fix them. And the first thing you did, you laughed. Didn't you?
I did. I honestly thought it was a joke. I didn't know who it was coming from at all.
So your first impression.
I figured, you know, A. Pierre Jardin, that's got to be the most generic name ever for a French guy.
Yeah.
And you know, secondly, I knew all my paperwork was in order. So I didn't think anything up front.
Yeah, your first reaction was the correct one. But so I played my desperation card, and I said, "You are not taking this seriously, Mr. Adwini?"
Oh, that's when my heart sank.
Yeah, you just snapped to attention. Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. I'm sorry. I was like, oh, I got him. I got him. Don't screw this up. And I played it up, and if I remember right, you were getting pretty pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it went up.
Yeah, well, I was defensive. I knew I had all my stuff in order. I'd just been held up once, and, you know, I'd gone through everything, dot my I's, crossed my T's. I figured everything was in order, and here comes this call out of the blue saying, you know, things aren't right. We're going to have to deport you.
Yeah, it's...
Please come to the airport. There's agents standing by waiting for you.
Yeah, not just any airport.
I'm sitting in my queue. I'm just trying to do work.
Yeah, not just any airport. We're sitting in Colorado Springs, and I'm telling you, you got to get up to the Denver airport.
In like a half an hour.
And yeah, I let it go for about 5 minutes. Claimed that Pierre had coordinated with local authorities to detain you if you failed to comply. Gave you all just unrealistic timetables to get up to Denver, catch your flight. And finally, I asked you. I was taking down some information, and I asked what date it was. And you, being the diligent Canadian, said it's the 1st of April. and even
that one right over my head. Not a clue.
And I had to ask, isn't that a holiday where you are right now?
Okay.
Even that didn't get it. Did you feel when I finally let you off the hook?
Holy smokes! You know when you're chomping on your stomach and your mouth, and you've got the cold sweats, and in your mind you're trying to explain this to your mom and to your boss that you have to pick up and leave because you're being deported. I mean, that just doesn't sit well. It doesn't sit well at all.
Well, and that tells me that even though my French-Canadian accent was weak and my choice of French names was weak.
That was funny, and that's what should have given it away right from the start, is your French-Canadian accent was terrible. and the name should have been a dead giveaway, but
that's the thing.
I knew it, and then
I told my wife that I did it, of course, and she said, well, what name did you use? And I said, Pierre Desjardins, and she said, doesn't he ever watch hockey?
That's it. I mean, caught in the moment. What am I gonna? I thought I caught it right away, but I tell you, you're as persistent as it gets.
That's
so,
right.
You know, we'll give you that one as one of my.
That's right. Not quality, it's quantity. I was just gonna go at it until it died.
Yeah, and then it was followed by the full on belly laugh session from the whole company after realizing that I'd been had.
Well, you know, not everybody was as gullible as you.
Well, hey, you know, that's Canadians are nice folk. We don't anticipate, you know, being taken full advantage of.
That's right,
you know,
polite.
Especially with our visas. You know, the one issue that is dearest to our hearts when we come down here.
Gotta be able to get back to the motherland.
Well, that's right. I mean, heck, I couldn't come back once. I figured, hey, this just add it to the list. Why not?
Well, and that's the thing. You know, once I'd done it to you, I couldn't do it to anybody else in the building. They would have expected it.
Well, for sure. Well, I think after working there as long as most people had, I think they were well aware of some of your pranks. I, on the other hand, had only been around for a short time, so I wasn't as, you know, as up to speed with
what you were capable of. Pure evil, that's what my wife calls me. Pure evil.
Pretty much. I think it all sank when you sang that song in front of us at that AE meeting. You know, that was, you know, well, you might want to edit that out. Maybe that doesn't want to come
up. Which song was that?
Remember when you sang your little song at the AE meeting in the morning once?
Oh, yeah, when I sang to girls. Well, it wasn't a costume. That's just the clothes I wear.
That's a good point. Well, I stand corrected.
That's right. I just dress like a moron. It's not a costume. So, again, thank you very much for reliving the horror that was the Visa prank with us on the Big Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. Let's give a big hand to Cameron Arduini, kids.
Thank you. And I'll give another shout-out to Derek, who certainly is... who has set the bar very high for that April Fool's prank. I haven't seen that. It certainly hasn't even been close to that ever since. So, there you go.
Oh, well, I appreciate that immensely.
Not a problem.
So Colin is on vacation this week, and if you heard the vacation-themed episodes of the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour that we did some weeks back, you know that a Colin vacation consists of staying home and doing not much. So how's your doing not much going?
It's going pretty good. I'm actually getting quite a bit of drawing done and some cleaning. I reorganized the basement. So, yeah, not bad for the first day.
Say it ain't so.
Yeah, it's so.
Speaking of the drawings that you have gotten done, what I mean, are you just specifically working towards this week's Illustration Friday topic, or are you just
no?
Or did you have ideas rattling around up in your fetid head meats that needed outing?
Both, but at the same time, I haven't touched on either of those yet. What I was working on now are sketches of robots for Trevor's next tattoo.
Oh, that's right. Your brother Trevor, you've already done one tattoo for him, a dragon on one shoulder.
Right.
So why don't you tell the kids exactly what the... Well, first, let's go all the way back to that first tattoo.
Okay.
How old was Trevor when you did this for him?
Pretty sure he was 18. He was just old enough to get a tattoo, so...
Just barely old enough to get a tattoo, and he wanted one of your drawings, and...
Right.
Why don't you tell the story? It's your story.
So. Well, you pretty much told it. He wanted one of my drawings, and he wanted something that looked cool, so I came up with this dragon wing thing, and he got it done on his, I don't know the anatomy part, it's not really his shoulder, it's more like his...
Deltoid?
Well, his bicep or something, I don't know.
His arm, from the shoulder down to the elbow, right?
Right, pretty much, and I documented the whole thing with photographs as he was getting it done, and posted it at my blog.
At fusilandpop.com.
Yeah, it's somewhere in there, and... Then he went and got another one because he couldn't wait for me to draw up something. And
what was his second tattoo of?
It's of the Apple logo.
Where did he get that?
On his forearm, on the inside.
Now, I'm brand loyal to Apple myself.
Yeah,
but. And so this next tattoo is going to be what?
Well, originally he said he wanted a zombie, a sort of a cartoonish zombie, not like. Well, yeah, kind of like some of the stuff I've done. But then he changed his mind and he decided he'd want a retro-looking robot thing of some sort. Like those old wind-up robots.
Sure, yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, he's of the age where 50, so. He's of the age where he's probably going to change his mind about just about everything every 5 minutes. So I'm amazed that he's been able to get two tattoos so far. I mean, who knows? Maybe he doesn't feel good about them.
He doesn't feel good about them?
No, I said maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's changed his mind
about
and wants them removed or covered up.
Oh, no. He loves his tattoos.
It would be hard to...
What's that? He loves his tattoos. As a matter of fact, when I was trying to give him crap over getting the Apple logo, he was just slinging it right back at me. He totally is into his tattoos. So.
Especially the one of the Apple logo. And so next is going to be a Colin Burton original, a retro robot. And where is it going?
I don't know. He hasn't said.
Hmm.
But this one is the Apple logo and the dragon were black and just black ink. And he wants color for this one.
Oh, sounds like he's making more money now at this point in his career.
Well, his girlfriend said that she would pay for it for a Valentine's gift.
Really?
Really.
That has got to be the least romantic Valentine's gift I think I've ever heard of.
Oh, come on. What do you mean, least romantic?
I think it is. Well, what could be less romantic other than like a big kick in the ass?
Giving him something that he wants that he'll have forever? I don't know. That doesn't seem too bad. I mean... she's not happy that he's wanting to do a robot. But
well, that's kind of a birthday gift or a Christmas gift, but not a Valentine's gift. Valentine's Day, you get somebody a cheap-ass little stuffed bear from Walgreens and some candy, and you call it good. If they're lucky, they get a card.
So,
but this tattoo, this is going to cost, like, what, $400?
So you're saying that she's spending too much on him. He's not worth this. She shouldn't love him this much.
In a roundabout way, you're putting words in my mouth, but maybe.
Bah.
But speaking of birthday gifts, it's the big birthday for Colin this week. How old are you going to be? How many fingers do you have to hold up?
27.
You're a liar.
I am a liar.
You're a liar. 27 plus how many?
Plus, 12, so.
I'm so bad at math. How old are you going to be?
39.
39 years old. Damn near the big 4-0, where everybody dresses in black and says you're over the hill. Although, I think that you're not over the hill until you really can't walk.
Really?
And you can still get up and around,
yeah.
Can't you?
I better with all these stairs. So
you're going to be 39 this coming, what, Thursday or Friday?
Friday, yeah.
Friday. So on Friday, everybody call up Colin and tell him happy 39th birthday. And how did you make it this far? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I've done enough
with your self-destructive dart-dodging tendencies.
And all sorts of other stuff, like inhaling
battery
spray.
Acid.
Oh, and battery acid, yeah.
Now, why don't you tell the kids quickly, I mean, those that don't remember your short-lived, half-assed comics that you used to draw on your blog that I thought were funny, why don't you tell the kids about how you did have that run-in with the battery acid?
Well, I was driving an old Volkswagen, like 1967. It might have been older than me. I didn't have a back seat in the car because when I bought it was down to springs. There was nothing on it, so I just took it out, and the battery is inside the car under the back seat.
Because pretty much the whole motor is under the back seat.
Right, and basically that's the other reason I got rid of that those springs, because they would short out the battery by bouncing around. So got rid of that, but I didn't think to put the battery in a case, like a sealed case, until after the accident.
After the big...
But I was on my way to, work at Applied Magnetics, where we were working on assembling this new technology called CD drives, way back in the day. There were no CD drives back then.
I know.
Everything was done on floppies.
Well, I can remember, reading a magazine right around the time Dragon's Lair came out. So it would have been 1983, and it said that the first Laserdisc game, blah blah blah. And it wasn't the first Laserdisc game, but that's neither here nor there. It was the first popular Laserdisc game. And they said, and someday you might even be able to, use CD-ROMs with your home computer. And I'm thinking, no, there's no way.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it was coming. What we were working on.
That's right. It was coming, by God. And it's already gone.
Yeah, pretty much. We were working on removable media was the idea. These drives that would read it. And they wouldn't tell us who the clients were because basically I was temp. I was not full employee or anything, but the code was Skywalker 1. So
you think it might have been going down to
Lucas
Arts? Lucas,
yeah, I think it was. But anyway, I was on my way to work there, and it was up in Monument, and it was rainy, and I went around a corner much too fast and rolled my car along three sides, wound up about 20 feet from the highway. Several people stopped to see if I was okay.
At least they stopped to see if you were okay.
Yeah, had to
roll. I would have just kept on driving.
Had to climb out the passenger window, tipped my bug back over. Battery acid had sprayed all over the inside of the car, and I'd inhaled a fair amount of it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
And I was able to actually start it up and drive the rest of the way to work.
That is a resilient little vehicle.
And quite resilient until I cracked the block, but... Yeah, it was quite a car, but that's one of the things that could have and probably should have killed me.
Just one of the many that have that just make us incredulous that you are going to make. Well, who knows? Maybe you won't make it to 39. I mean, it's not till Friday.
Yeah, but I could fall down the stairs, I guess.
Stay safe. Don't die before you're 39. Don't fall down the stairs. Now, if something, one of the things that, are you still thinking about getting a dog?
Yeah, actually, we just got a call back from them about the dog. They're going to bring him.
From them? The dog people?
Well, the people that are taking care of the dog for this organization. Yeah, they're
so
kind of like.
So you're thinking about,
they're like,
you know what that dog's,
parents.
You know what the first thing that dog's going to do to you?
Sniff me.
It's going to run under your feet, and it's going to knock you down the stairs.
No, he's not.
I'm serious. That's what dogs do. Brian Greasy. Happened to Brian Greasy.
Yeah, but I'm not Brian Greasy, am I?
No, my friend. You are no Brian Greasy.
Exactly. See?
So on the dining critic front, the big contest that I've found myself in just through no fault of my own, essentially right now, they've opened it up to the public to vote, and by public, I mean the public that reads the local newspaper that that is holding the contest here in town. And it would probably be unethical for me to say where people could vote, Gazette.com, and probably even just as unethical for me to say which number review I am, 12, because we're supposed to be anonymous, but the process has begun. We interrupt this podcast with breaking news. Even though at the time of the original recording, voting was still open, it's all closed up now. So don't go vote at Gazette.com for number 12. And now, back to your regularly scheduled podcast. And I know I've got a few sympathy votes from family and friends. Remember a few weeks ago when I said, I don't want your goddamn job?
Yeah, I remember that.
I didn't mean it. I really didn't mean it. Now that I'm in the competition, I so desperately want to win because I hate to lose.
And guess what? I can't vote for you.
Why not?
I just realized that.
Why not?
Because if Heather voted from here, then this is the IP address.
Well, I'm not sure that they're checking IP addresses.
No, because she tried to vote more than once. She was trying to stack them in your favor, and it wouldn't let her. So,
well, that was nice of her. Vote early, vote often, kids.
It? Exactly. So I have a feeling that I can't vote for you. So I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I got one vote out of
spirit.
I got a vote out of your household. I guess that's good enough for me.
Yeah, you could go.
I mean, really though, I'm not sure exactly how much weight this voting carries because the staff at the paper has reserved the right of veto. Believe that, you know, if they think that the wrong person is getting too many votes, they'll just, you know, they'll make the decision. So I'm just hoping that on the strength of my lousy 75-word synopsis, I can get through this this particular round of competition. I don't know. They haven't really been clear. I think they're just making this up as they go along, but they did say there were going to be more than one round of competition. So this is just round one, and hopefully I can make it to at least round two because it'll give me something to talk about and write about. Although this week, this is probably the first week in two or three weeks that we're not just talking about crap that I've already written on the blog.
Probably, I guess.
But you don't care. You're not even paying attention.
It's not that I don't care. I just don't listen to the show, so I don't really remember what we've talked about in the last 3 weeks.
So three subscribers are you, and they don't actually listen to the show. That's not what I want to hear.
Sorry.
That's not what I want to hear at all. Well, we got these subscribers,
but
nobody
actually
listens.
So now I have to listen to the show, too? What?
Don't you want to hear yourself?
No.
Don't you want to find out how, you know, expertly I produced the show?
Nah, it's enough.
How
for
I
me
took
to
this big pile of crap that you give me and I turned it into spun gold.
I don't give you crap.
Is that Rapunzel or Rumpelstiltskin or what is that? Who spun that hair or that wheaten gold?
Well, Rumpelstiltskin didn't do it. It was the princess that he was threatening that did it. I'm pretty sure.
It's forced labor camp.
Yeah.
Rumpelstiltskin's Dachau.
Right. I think that was it. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've read those. So it's not Rapunzel, though. She was the one with the hair.
Right. She's the one with the hair in the tower, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah.
Don't want to hear it.
Fine.
So that's pretty much it. We're just two fools who are easily duped by pictures on a website, one of whom is getting older in a couple of days and thinking about buying a dog.
So you're not getting any older, huh?
Not in the next couple of days.
You're not. You're going to get a couple days
couple
older.
Days. It's a couple days here and there. Who notices?
Yeah.
Who notices a couple of days here and there?
Yeah.
They don't add up.
Oh, no. Of course not.
Mm-mm. You don't actually age until your birthday comes around.
Right.
That's right. Then it all happens at once.
Friday ought to be fun then.
So. It'll be like that scene from Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade.
Yeah.
He chose poorly.
All of a sudden, I can't walk anymore.
That's right. Well, then you'd be over the hill. One year early.
And stuck on the ground floor. So.
Wow, there's a lot on the ground floor. You got the food on the ground floor, right?
Yeah.
That's what else do you need? Food? TVs?
There's no shower.
Well, there's a garden hose out back, though, right?
Yeah, but it's supposed to snow tomorrow.
Just roll around in the snow.
Oh, wait, I won't be old till Friday. So
that's right. So tomorrow you'll still be able to make it upstairs and get that shower taken.
Yeah.
Well, as always, kids, thanks for listening. I know that we really didn't do you any favors if you did, but hey, if you did, thanks anyway. I'm Derek Knight from sonofcheese.com. With me, as always, Colin Burton from fizzleandpop.com.
Take care, everyone.
We'll see you back again next Wednesday.